very, very good to see you all, especially after a Sunday's absence last week. I was in Roseburg. I preached for my grandson. His voice was going, and David was going to be speaking for me, so I knew it was covered. Went down there and had a good time, and I was able to create a little memory. I had an object lesson. So I had my grandson up there on the platform with me participating in the object lesson. It's on YouTube. It was cute. He's 4 years old. These little, many of you enjoy what we do. We've got three grandkids and a fourth on the way. The other day, Ashley and Pete, the parents of little Emma, she's 2 and a half. Her grandma came down to keep her, Christy, while they went out for some occasion. And she was really missing them. As they went out the door, they said, "Bye, Emma." She said, "Drive safe." Drive safe. Hope you have a good time. Oh, they're fun. Just so much fun. Now, I'm up here at a disadvantage. I've got this Bible. We've got 10,000 over in the office. But speaking down there, I left my my Bible behind, one of many Bibles I have, but the one I always use. It was, students gave it to me in 1970. And so it's like a security blanket. And without that Bible, I have to dig around and find something else. So who knows where I'll go this morning. Anyway, we've arrived at Matthew 24. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that passage. In fact, I don't know exactly where I'm going to end. There's a story there. So you will understand what I am up to. Now, I've said this for several Sundays. As we work our way through Matthew, we are now at a point, time-wise, when Jesus is right on the cusp of being arrested and being crucified. He's mainly talking to his disciples, and they're listening well. They haven't gotten it fully yet, but they're about to. They are in Jerusalem. They're not native to Jerusalem. They are Jews, of course. But they're natives to the district of Galilee, which is up north. And it's kind of like going to New York City or Washington, D.C., and you're from Iowa. Nothing wrong with being from Iowa, but it's just a different world. And the Jews typically, once a year, would go up to the Passover feast, place that Josephus tells us, I don't remember the exact figure, but there were, I'm being conservative, at least 1 million people. Now, I've been to Jerusalem. Some of you have been there. It's hard to believe you could stack that many people there. But they came from all over the world. And so there were just gobs and gobs of people there. But now they're right on the cusp of the feast. But at evening, they would have to retire, go someplace else, sleep, Bethany, which was across the Kidron Valley, over toward the Mount of Olives. So this is Jerusalem Valley, and then over there is the Mount of Olives. Well, as they were leaving, they were doing perhaps what you've done if you've been to New York or Washington, D.C. It's different there than it is here. I mean, it's all America. It's all the United States. But if you weren't born there or around there, you're struck. You go to Washington and there are all of these buildings. And they're different than the kind of buildings you see here. They have a class. They have an architecture that is wow. Wow. You go to New York City, and I'm sure many of you have been there, some of you perhaps only recently. And you go there and you see these towers, you know, the Empire State Building. And they go up and up and up, and you stand on the street and you go like that. Wow. There's nothing like that in Portland or along the West Coast, except maybe one tower in San Francisco. Wow. Well, that was the mode the disciples in. They were just deeply impressed by the capital city, which was Jerusalem. And that's what evokes this passage, where Jesus is going to talk about the consummation of the age. Let's read it. Just a little bit of it for a moment. And Jesus came out from the temple precincts, and was going away when his disciples came up to him and, "Lord, man, would you look at that? Look at the temple. Man, that's majestic, isn't it?" Let me tell you a little bit about that. This was the third temple. Herod, who was not a Jew proper, but an Idumean, and not really popular with the Jews, but he would throw them bones every once in a while. Herod was a great builder. He was a genius. I mean, when Herod built, he built. And the temple precincts were 40 years in construction. Yeah. And when Herod built something, as I say, it was a wow factor. And so these guys were looking around. It wasn't only in Jerusalem, but other places, fortresses. And it just set their eyeballs spinning in their head. And they said, "Lord, man, just look at this. Wow." Well, Jesus had to get them off that. There were bigger fish to fry and a lot bigger things to think about. This was not the time to be a tourist. No, this was a time to think about heavy things. And so Jesus tells them about things to come. What he's got in mind are not only immediate things to come, but things much further out, to the consummation of the age. Often in biblical prophecy, that's the way it is. The speaker, the prophet, whoever is talking about things that are to come to pass rather shortly. But oftentimes he would conflate that with things that were like those things, but bigger than those things that would come to pass at the end or much further down the road. It's kind of like this. He's talking about two things, this one and that one, but they're pictured in such a way that they're like this, and you don't necessarily see the second one as distinct from the first one, but that's what we have here. You have tribulation in this passage, and I mean awesome tribulation, but you also have, without Jesus drawing a distinction, the great tribulation. And it's in view. So that's what's going on in this text. During the Great Pacific Campaign, I want to ask, I doubt it, is anybody here, I mean, you'd have to be, you'd have to be a little older than I am. You'd have to be a little older than I am to be there, but anybody here, in the Second World War, raise your hand. Well, we've got a young congregation. But I still remember it, and when this happened, I'm about to talk about, I was 8 years old. I was a veteran. Anyway, a little kid in Pratt, West Virginia, but I remember this stuff. I remember it because my grandmother, I would always, if she was around, she would always listen to the war news, and then she and I would go to bed and she'd tell me all these fantastic stories. Well, during the Second World War, 1944, the great American general, Douglas MacArthur, was on the island of Corregidor near the Philippines. He was commanding 90,000 U.S. and Filipino troops. The Japanese forces were closing in big time. Big time. And it looked very much to President Roosevelt and others in the American government that things were going to go bad. The last thing they wanted to happen, other than everybody get killed, was for the Japanese to be able to capture or to kill MacArthur. That would be a propaganda victory of terrible proportions. So they ordered MacArthur to get out. He didn't want to go, but they said, you've got to get out of there. So very reluctantly, MacArthur and his family were put on boats. It was very treacherous, very scary. Mines out in the water everywhere. But he managed to escape. But his last words to the Filipinos and to the American troops left behind is, you've heard them, I shall return. Well, eventually he wound up in Australia, commanding troops from there. But he kept the mantra going by radio and everything, getting the word in to the Philippines. I shall return. Began to seem like he never would. It went about 2 years. We're getting right near the end of the war. American troops in the Philippines and all of that area in the Pacific Theater were being very successful, and finally they drove the Japanese out. And then one day, the ships appeared. And here came MacArthur and all his great entourage with victorious American troops behind him, wading ashore. You've probably seen pictures of it. And as soon as he could get hold of a radio, he said, people of the Philippines, I have returned. Boy, what a day of joy that was, and victory. I have returned. Well, Jesus is talking about a scenario like that, right here. And it's kind of reminiscent, it's kind of inspiring. He's going away. But when he goes away, I shall return. He's telling his disciples. Well, let's read what he goes on to say. Verse 2. He answered to his disciples who were in the tourist mode, and he said to them, men, you see all these things? You see that building there? Let me tell you something you don't know, but you should. Truly I say to you that not one stone here shall be left upon another, which shall not be torn down. Wow. Was that hyperbole? No, it wasn't. 40 years later, and I'll come back to that, the Romans would make a horrendous visitation. And that's exactly what they did. They just ripped the temple. In fact, not just the temple, but they ripped Jerusalem down stone by stone by stone by stone. In fact, I've been over there. I'm not the only one, some of you here, but we've gone at different times. Next to the last time that I was over there, we went underground. I mean, this hasn't been there and been seen forever. And you have to get tickets to go underground, and it's almost suffocating down there. If you have claustrophobia, they tell you not to go. And I've been down there, and to tell you about the majesty of those buildings, what Jesus was talking about, it's incomprehensible what he was saying. There were foundation stones down there that were as big as a 747. Let me say that again. As big as a 747. You look at those stones, they're so long, every dimension of them just boggles the mind. How did they ever do that? You can imagine the stones on top. And you look at, how do they manage all of this? If you ever get a chance to go see it, do it. Well, it must have blown the disciples' minds. They could not conceive of such a thing. But Jesus says, I want you to think about that. Well, that's going to happen. And they were thinking that when a thing like that happened, that must be the very consummation of the ages. There could be no other scenario. So in verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, now they were free of all of the peripheral disciples, no disrespect to them, but it was just Jesus and his private group of disciples. The disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us, Lord, when's all this going to go down? When will it be? They thought in these terms. Mentally, they lived in a supernatural world. And this was all God's business. This was all God's doing, whatever was coming about. And so he said, tell us, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the signal? The Lord will certainly give us some precursors that will tell us it's on. And the Lord's about to return. They'd gotten that much, not ever so clearly, but he is going to come back. He's not going to leave us orphans here. And what'll tell us, what'll cue us that the consummation of the age is on its way? Well, verse 4, Jesus started to give them signs of the last days. Now here's something you need to understand. Right here at this point, Jesus is arrested, crucified, resurrected, and just a little while later ascended back to heaven. From that general date moving forward, the world by God's timetable has been in the last times. You're living in the last times. That is not to say you're living in the end times. You're living in the last age in God's calendar from that day forward. So keep that in mind. So here are the end times. You're living in it. There will not be another epoch. There will not be another age. You're in the last one. You have been and we have been. But down the road here somewhere, we enter the end times of the last times. That means we're right at the door. Now, when is that? We'll talk about that in a minute. So Jesus says to them, there are some things you need to understand. That we all need to understand. And what is that? Well, he goes on here to say, verse 4, Jesus answered and he said to them, this is always important. See to it, beware that no one misleads you. Let me tell you something about history. And I don't mean to sound condescending. A lot of you people are highly educated. You know a lot of things. And you know a lot of biblical things. But we must understand, and you see this through history, there are certain times when things are really convulsed. And people get terribly excited and they get paranoid for good reasons. And when they do, they are spiritually vulnerable. And if they're not stable, if they're not well informed, then they can be lured to bad places. Jesus knew that. And you're living in such a time. So see to it, men, that nobody misleads you. Here's some of the things that are going to happen. This is Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, he ascends back. Now they're on mission. He's raised them up for this, and they're starting to go gradually into all the world and carry the gospel. But what's going to happen in the interim, and history shows it, many will come in my name, and they will say things like, I am the Christ, I am the Messiah. He was the Christ. But now they're going to come along. 130 AD, there was a famed Jewish heretic who claimed to be the Messiah by the name of Bar Kokhba. They'll say, I am the Christ. And they'll just suck people up like a vacuum. Happened. And I'm going to tell you that in the days ahead, you will be hearing things that you'll be hearing about wars and rumors of wars. See that you don't panic. Don't go over the edge. Don't get sucked up by anybody and everybody you hear. Somebody's on TV, somebody's on blah, 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 blah. Don't fall for that garbage. I'll tell you why. These things must take place in the plan of God. It's just going to be a part of the fabric of the near future. But it's not yet the end. I mean, this is just a warm-up. And so it is, and so it's been ever since the Lord was here. You go back and you read history, ancient history, medieval history, and you come forward, and what's it a story of? Wars and rumors of wars, and then more wars, and then rumors of war. So Jesus says, don't lose your footing. Don't become unbalanced, because people tend to in such times. Keep your cool. It's not the end yet. This is just part of the fabric of the future. Verse 7. To amplify on that a bit, he says a nation will rise against nation. They've been doing it ever since. Kingdom against kingdom, and in various places, oh, there will be famines and earthquakes. Yep, they've always happened, but they're going to be amplified. Have you been hearing, I ask you, in the last several years about famines and earthquakes? Oh, yeah. Over in Africa, terrible right now. Sudan, awful, I hear, awful. And other parts of the world. And what about earthquakes? Have you been reading here recently about earthquakes going on? There have always been earthquakes, but it seems like they are rolling out a little more. But Jesus says this is not the end. So when this stuff happens and people start going, this is it, this is it. Chill out. Don't become unbalanced. That's not the case. It's not yet, he says in verse 6. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. It is not yet the end. Verse 8. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. He's using the figure of a woman who's expecting. history. It's early in pregnancy. But Jesus says, you know how it is with ladies who are expecting. Sometimes they're terribly sick. Not just sick of their husbands, but but other sicknesses, all that kind of stuff is going on. And Jesus says, this is not the end. It's not time for the baby to be delivered. Just chill out and understand that this is just the beginning. This is just the warm-up for what is coming. Just the beginning of birth pangs. And oh, now we get into this picture. Is he talking about tribulation, the great tribulation, or is he talking about another great tribulation when the Romans came to Jerusalem? Both may be in view. They will deliver you up to tribulation. That happened early on, not the great tribulation. Oh, in 70 AD, it was horrific. Read Josephus. People were literally eating one another. Literally. Cannibalizing the population. And, they will kill you, my disciples. You say, this is supposed to be encouraging? This is supposed to lift my spirit? No, what it's doing is to steal your spirit. S-T-E-E-L. And to get to brace it and to understand that the wheels are not coming off. This is the way it's going to be. When MacArthur left the Philippines, thousands of U.S. prisoners of war, as well as Filipinos, were just cruelly treated and decimated, savagely decimated by the Japanese. Horrible things went on. There was a lot of suffering in that 2-year period. Jesus said, you who believe in me and trust in me, you're going to suffer. He didn't mean just his early disciples. James was the first to go down, beheaded. And then Stephen, who was stoned to death, one of the great deacons of the early church. And then there came to be others on down the road by the thousands who were horribly treated, killed. Jesus doesn't think anything about that like that's too much to ask. He died for us. He asked us to be willing to die for him. But he wants us to know, wanted them to know, as I said, the wheels aren't coming off when all this stuff begins to happen. And if it should begin to happen in our day, we're to take courage from the same thing. Well, he told us. He told us. But if we go down, we will rise up. And in the end, we win. And we win big. That's the way it'll be. So Jesus says, just want you to know that some of this stuff is part of the package. They will deliver you up, verse 9, to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated of all nations on account of my name. You know, I've said from this pulpit, I've said for a long time, as I've lived a long time and I observe life, one of the most dangerous things that we encounter, spiritually and otherwise, is expectations. We Americans, it's just part of our culture. We want to think positively. Be positive. Say the comforting things. See? No, we've got to be a people who are realistic. And if we walk with Jesus Christ, if we received him by God's grace through faith and through faith alone, we know it's a faith walk. And we surrender to him, and we must take whatever comes. And we must understand, not just his first disciples, but all of his disciples down through the centuries until the consummation. We must understand that there will be times and there will be seasons when the opposition of the world will be especially severe, especially hateful. We must understand that. And here you and I, sheltered in our unusual American life, that our ticket may be punched and the Lord may call for us, may call for us to give up our lives for Christ. That's not abnormal. It's just been abnormal here in America. So we must understand that our day may come around, and it's encouraging in one way. He told us beforehand. So, he goes on to say, by the way, you'll be hated. That's already here. If you don't understand the cultural wars, let me explain it to you. It's not about the things that you read about. It's not. It's about you, Christians. This world and this culture does not like Christians. I could say more, but so much of my time would go right down the drink. At that time, he says in verse 10, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Another sign, and many false prophets will arise and mislead many. And because lawlessness, does that sound familiar? Does that word sound familiar right now, this day? Because of lawlessness being increased, most people's love will grow cold. Love for what? Well, two levels, love for one another, but love for Christ, people who profess Christ. But the one who endures to the end, it is he who shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world, that is before the consummation of the age, for a witness to all nations. And then the end shall come. I want to go back over some of that. Verse 10, at that time many will fall away. There's a New Testament word. We use it a lot. It's called apostasy. It means to fall away, to fall away from Christ, to fall away from God. That we are seeing amplified in our day. We're seeing people peel off from Jesus Christ right and left. Most of you know, if you're believers, you know the name John Piper. Well, John Piper hasn't apostatized, but his son has become the enemy of everything Christian. And you're hearing a lot of noise from, but it's not the only one. Jesus is telling us this not to discourage us, but to tell you what I said before. When this stuff begins to happen, look, don't think the wheels are coming off. These are signs, and this is just telling you, that we're moving closer and closer to the end of the last times. You're going to see it, and don't panic. You hear all constantly of schools going under. You hear music groups. There are parts of music groups that have a lot of fanfare. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, I couldn't hold it back any longer. I just finally had to announce. I've been worried about, it's a crock. Talking about the Christian faith. What? Oh God, no. It's all falling apart. Jesus has said, no, it's not falling apart. All of this is in the divine script. It's all there. Stuff like that's going to happen. He didn't say it, but here's what he meant. It's just God weeding his garden. So let's not lose heart or lose faith. when we begin to see this kind of stuff as we ramp up to the consummation of the age, well, that's nothing. There it is. Just what Jesus said. There's another example of it. And keep your feet firmly planted on the ground. But Jesus says for our encouragement, the one who endures, because the pressure not to endure, the pressure to give up, the pressure to surrender, it'll be great. But Jesus says you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be, he doesn't mean every one of us is going to go down to the sword, but there's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of bloodshed. And he said, people are going to peel away from the faith, and you're going to have this situation, lawlessness breaking out all over. And when the lawlessness breaks out all over, people's love will grow cold, love for God and love for one another. Children not loving their parents. Children turning their backs on their parents and betraying them. Well, how can children betray their parents? Because you get into an environment of political correctness, kind of like we're in today. And the kids, in order to court favor with the people who matter, whisper to the authorities and the people who can take your life, my parents are one of them. In the last half of my life, or less, as far as it's gone, I've been shocked by the way children turn their backs on their parents for no reason. And a lot of you are examples of that. And you say, what? How could that be? Jesus tells us that stuff's going to happen. And there's going to be a loss, to use another biblical phrase, of natural affection. These parents raised them, they fed them, they took care of them, they did all of this. And now these kids have become just backstabbers. How could that happen? Jesus says it will, and it'll be the same. It'll be the same for families supposedly in the faith, and many of them will break away. They will apostatize. It's always happened. There's nothing new about it. It's the scale of it that Jesus is talking about. It'll pick up speed. But before I come again, just remember this. This stuff is going to go down, but before that happens, the gospel's got to be preached to all nations. It's God's plan to send the gospel through you, my first disciples, but also through others that you disciple, to send it to all the world so that there'll be a witness of my name to my son throughout the whole world. And so it has been. There are still people who have never heard, but they're just little pockets here and there. Well, all of this is going according to plan, and it will continue to go according to plan. And we'll pick it up there next week. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful prophecy. And so we go from here, thankful to God that Jesus Christ came into the world, and he gave his life for the world in order that those who trust in him might be saved. And we wait. But while we wait, we don't grab a sheet because we see certain things happening, go up on the rooftop and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. No, we stay busy and involved in the business. We do our duty today and tomorrow and the next day. We keep moving, we keep doing, and above all, we keep being Christian and let it all play out. But he had it all covered, and it's still covered, and it will be covered to the end. The wheels are not coming off. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your plan. We thank you that all the pieces are in place, even when pieces seem to be falling off. That too is in your plan. We await the end of the age, the consummation of all things. But meanwhile, we cooperate with what you're doing here in history as we know it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.